through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we took verse 34, the first part of it. So now we're going to take that last phrase, Hebrews 11, 34. Let's read 34, 35, and 36 as a background, beginning at verse 34. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in flight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. All right, the last part of verse 34 is where we left off. And starting with that word, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Do we have any examples of the Old Testament of turning to flight? Who would be the aliens, by the way?
The enemies of God.
Right, the enemies of God, probably the Gentile nations. Enemies of the Israelites, probably the Gentile nations. Do we have any examples of that? Yes, Henry.
Yes, when God killed just 185,000 of the enemy, he just wiped them out.
Yes, they were fighting against Israel, they wiped out 185,000. What else? Any other examples? That was in Gideon's time, wasn't it?
Yes. And when the Israelites were going in, that God would go in ahead of them to wipe out the Gentile nations.
All right. And in Joshua's time, they did wipe out many of them, put the armies of the aliens to flight. That means they had to take out and leave. Any other examples of that? Yes, Randy?
Well, in some of the civil wars, I remember the battle of, was it Benjamin, where they had an ambush, and they tried to put them to flight after they lured them out, but they put them to flight. It was during even the civil wars of Israel, some of the battles where the Lord was for...
Civil wars of Israel, even currently, in other words.
Yes.
I see.
I mean in Scripture, between Judah and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
There were situations where the Lord favored one army above the other because he was with that army, and they even put them to flight because of the Lord's presence.
Right, that's good. Any other examples? Old Testament examples?
Did they put the enemies
to flight, although they didn't have to fight. They really were killed right in the confinement of the thing, but at least they were put out of the picture. I'm sure they were there.
I thought maybe they
had fled. Well, they had fled.
I don't remember now.
Possibly so. The wall fell down, and then we'll see what happens on that. All right, other examples of putting the enemies to flight. All right, and then here's another one, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. What do we have in the Old Testament like that, is it?
Elijah with the widow of Zarephath.
Mm-hmm.
Her son died, and Elijah came, and he laid him on his bed, and spread himself over the child and breathed into him. They came to life.
Yes, absolutely. I think this might be the only example, but there may be another. It says women plural. And Henry?
Elisha did the same thing. There was a little boy that, a Shunammite woman, and she didn't have any children, and her husband was old, and she was told that she would have a child, so she did, and then when the little boy grew, he went to his father in the field and said, my head, and he died.
A heat stroke of some kind, wasn't it?
And he died, and the mother went out to Elisha, and it was interesting when she was going out and the question was asked to her, like she settled and asked and went out, and she said, it is well. but she knew she had to talk to Elijah, and her little and her son was dead.
And didn't she say, we eat for this son and pray, and now all of a sudden he's taking something out of
it? It was, you promised, and why would you deceive me?
Exactly. Something.
Yes, exactly.
So that's two examples, right. Women and right. Elijah and Elisha. Okay. So that takes care of that phrase, women, to see the dead. How about the New Testament? The Lord Jesus raised anybody from the dead in the New Testament?
Yes.
How many? How many did he raise?
Now, is that including himself?
Oh, no. Excluding himself. But he did raise. How many did he raise?
Three.
Three, that's right.
Three are mentioned.
Name three are mentioned. Name the one, two, and three.
Lazarus
is one.
The little girl that was laying in the bed and he went in.
Little girl. And
the woman's son that was being carried on the...
Women were named son. Okay, so those three. Yes.
There's another one. Paul raised Eutychus. Remember from Paul?
Okay, I asked what the Lord Jesus read, but that's right. But yeah, Paul raised Eutychus. What happened to Eutychus? What was his problem?
He fell out of the window.
Why did he fall out of the
window? He was listening to Paul preach.
He fell asleep.
Fell asleep. Now, did Paul preach long or short? Long. Okay. Now, some people preach very short, 15 minutes. But Paul was a long preacher. Now, some of the services of other countries, very lengthy services, right? In Africa, they're
playing
an hour and a half, 2 hour services, see? I don't know whether it's Korea the same, I'm not sure. But they have long services. So, Eutychus fell out of sleep. Now, there's an article in one of the magazines of Christianity today called Eutychus and His Kin. What do you suppose that's about? Eutychus and His Kin. What do you think they got involved with that? Probably fell asleep because maybe he had no interest in what Paul was saying. I don't know why he fell asleep, but maybe Eutychus and his kin, those that fall asleep because they really don't care what's being said. Could be. Can they have something? Go ahead.
Peter raised was that Dorcas? It was just before in Acts. It was just before his call to go to the house of Cornelius.
Tabitha Arise.
Yes,
Tabitha Arise. I think it was Dorcas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, Anna.
Well, I wouldn't say that Eutychus was necessarily not interested in what was being said. I think it was just very late, and about the time when people would normally go to bed, and he just couldn't keep up because maybe he was had a really long day. He worked really hard.
He worked a double shift, didn't he? That's true. That's true. But on the other hand, it's possible that he locked Blackwell in. It was difficult.
It was very late.
Oh, yes, right. That's not another question.
It would be normal for someone.
Why didn't more people fall asleep?
Because maybe more people did fall asleep.
There are quite a few people that fall
out of the window.
Yeah, Eutychus was sitting on the window.
Yes.
So everybody noticed when he fell asleep.
It seemed like with a window, you get more breath of fresh air. See. Now, frankly, I don't care if you fall asleep in our church here. You go right ahead. Alcohol chairs and it's wonderful. Yeah. See, I don't have criticism. It's fine. We're glad to have you here. It's warm. It's wonderful. Any other graces there? I think those two in the Old Testament, then several in the New Testament, then Paul and Peter. That's very good. All right, let's go to the next phrase. Women received the dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Others were tortured. Any examples that the Scripture gives us for those?
Jeremiah.
Hi? Is it Jeremiah he's in?
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah. Where would they throw Jeremiah?
Miry clay.
Miry clay. And they wanted to torture him, absolutely.
But Joseph.
And Joseph in the Old Testament, that's right. Sure. What did they throw him?
No.
Which brothers threw him in, which brother didn't want to throw him?
Well, Reuben let them put him in there, but he didn't want him sword. He was going to take him back to his father.
Yes. And what did they do when Reuben was gone?
They threw him to the...
Ishmaelites.
Oh, right.
That's right. And they went out of Egypt, and the Ishmaelites sold them to who else?
The Egyptians.
Potiphar, absolutely. And Joseph had a little trouble. Potiphar's wife got into difficulty. Joseph had no problem, but the wife had a problem. All right, so Joseph was tortured in that way. Anyone else? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, we're not sure of this, but when they took us over, my mom sent Miss Wade and me over there in the 1980s. And they took us to a place somewhere in Jerusalem, which was a place they said is where they put Jesus before the crucifixion, before the trial. Sort of like a pit of some kind. See, whether that was torture, I don't know whether it's true or false. I don't think the scripture has anything to do with it. But any others that were tortured? Yes, Henry.
The Apostle Paul.
Yes.
And Silas.
All right. What happened to Paul?
He was scourged. Okay. How many times here?
Three,
yes.
Three times, right? Beaten with rods, right?
Right.
Three times.
39.
I was seized. Four
strikes. Four strikes.
Last one.
Yes.
Save one.
Yeah, well, that's right. So he was going. Yes, sir. Bill, and then Matt.
Well, the worst torture of all was received by the Lord Jesus Christ before he went to the cross when he was whipped.
Yes.
That was horrible, that Roman whip.
Yes, absolutely. Just
to come in and flesh off of his back.
Terrible, terrible. So, torture.
And Isaiah 53 makes particular mention of that. By his stripes we are healed.
Yes.
And I'm glad it's there because it reminds us that, so that we don't overlook the scourging that he received.
Yes.
It's not just the nailings and the cross, but the scourging as well.
Yes, by his stripes. Here he has wounds. Actually, has stripes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Were some of the early Christians tortured?
Oh, sure.
Yes, they were. What type of torture did they apply? Yes, Randy.
There's references to the beasts. The beasts of the, where they were, Paul, he refers to, he escaped the beasts at Ephesus, or he escaped mm-hmm. being put in with the animals, I guess, that they let them attack them.
Mm-hmm.
In the arena.
Arena, yes. Huh?
The arena. So there's references to
yes.
that people were being put in with,
right.
killed by beasts.
What sort of tortures were the early Christians put to?
Fed to the lions.
Fed the lions along.
They were put on Fox's Book of Martyrs, but they were put on racks and
stretched,
and their tongues cut out, their
eyes put out.
Oh my goodness!
That's terrible, terrible. Crucified. Some were crucified. Some were burned to death. Very serious torture. What is the purpose of torture? Old Testament, New Testament, or current? What do you think the purpose is torture?
To make them renounce their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Faith in the Lord Jesus? Yeah. Anna?
To maybe tell them where the names of other Christians and where they might be.
Maybe to tell the other Christians to go kill them too. That could be. Yes, to them.
Sheer cruelty.
Yes. Sheer cruelty. Do some torture people today?
Yes.
What about that woman that stabbed that man 24 times and slit his throat in the shower? What sort of woman is that? She's on trial now for murder. Remember that? It's in the news. What sort of a person is that?
Be demon-possessed.
Maybe demon-possessed. I mean, why do you have to... 24 times, most angry as anything. 24, two dozen times, what they say in the news. slip the sword and kill him, that's all you need, see? But just anger, this vicious, that torture, I'm sure it wasn't pleasant to that man.
Residents of the Hanoi Hilton could tell you all about torture, Joe.
Yeah, the Hanoi Hilton. How about Hanoi? That very serious torture, wasn't it? Some of our...
John McCain
was a part of it. Yes. Yeah, Dick?
I think I heard somebody say it, but I was going to say John and Betty Stamm.
Oh, yeah.
Did somebody just say that?
No, that was John McCain.
In recent history, anyway, that's one of the most well-known, were John and Betty Stamm, missionaries in China. And when the Chinese communists took over, they slaughtered them and tied their bodies to a horse or something and dragged them down the street.
Yes.
And only their little daughter survived. She was only a couple of years old, a breastfeeding, by the way. And she's living today somewhere. And but anyway, Betty put a note in the little bassinet, whatever they called it, that the baby was in,
uh-huh.
and giving instructions who to notify to rescue the baby and so forth and so on. And the baby was rescued and brought back to the United States and is still living today.
Wow. That's torture, sir. the recent occurrence in Benghazi, the slaying of four men, ambassador, was it two others or three others?
It was two others.
The ambassador was a homosexual, and the people there knew he was a homosexual. So as you read between the lines, you don't get it in the papers, you don't get it in the newspapers, but they sodomized that man before or after he killed him, and dragged his body throughout the streets after his death. Just, I mean, terrible, wicked torture of these Islamists in that time. It's a terrible thing. So is it going to stop anywhere anytime soon?
No.
Torture, it won't stop. And especially with the Muslim idea, look at the other embassy that was destroyed with two or three killed, I guess, just the other day. It was a Turkey embassy. Homemade bomber was in there, kills himself and two or three others. And these people that have nothing to do with the fear of their own life, it's a different situation. Normally a murderer goes in and shoots somebody and he still is alive. But these bombers go in to kill. There's no way to stop those guys. They just kill everybody. But torture, certainly. And the Old Testament was full of that. Tortured were tortured. What's the next phrase?
I was just going to remind you, Prophet Jeremiah, they put him in a pit.
Uh-huh. Remember? That's right. That certainly was a torture.
I think it was the Babylonians when they came in to take Israel. They found him in the pit and drew him out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe that was the story anyway.
Yeah. Who helped?
They had put him in there with the intel.
Who was the Ethiopian that helped him?
Yeah.
Remember his name?
Evil
Merodach. That's a different one.
Oh, Evil Merodach.
No, that's a different one. Who was that Ethiopian? I want to say Eben Melek, but I don't think that was the one. Who was the Ethiopian that helped him? Got him out of the pit, and Eben Melek? Maybe it was Eben Melek. I'm not sure. Abbot is a servant, and Malik's king, servant of the king. Ibn Malik? It may be Ibn Malik. See, Anne Marie's checking, looking, of course.
Oh, I may not find it.
You may not find it. Search, seek, and you shall find. All right. So, anyway, she's looking it up. We'll pass on to the next one in verse 35. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. What does that mean? Not accepting deliverance.
Sometimes
they're
saying,
well,
if you repent,
we'll
let you go or something.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in a sense, tortured? What happened to them?
Yeah, that was torture. They were put in a furnace.
That certainly was torture, wasn't it? How did God deliver them?
Well, we think it's a Christophany.
Christophany, Lord Jesus himself?
Jesus. Went in there and
they came out of the smell of smoke. Yes, Andrew, you got the answer right there.
Yes, you've got it.
Is it Abimelech?
Yes, it was.
Well,
right.
Abimelech.
That's right.
Okay.
Very good.
How do you say it?
Abimelech.
Abimelech.
Melech. M-E-L-E-C-H. Servant of the king.
The king commanded Abimelech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from thence. From hence, 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die.
That's wonderful. The Lord delivered him. But some not accepting deliverance. Now, those who were tortured and condemned in our early Christian lives in Europe, in Asia, in biblical times, they were probably given, as Anna said, a choice between accepting Christ, continue to accept Christ, or accept Caesar. Caesar is the one that's the king and the God. So, if we got questions at bftbc.org, no questions. You have to call because your question is about the 856-261-901. Give us a call. We can't use the other because Dan is not coming home till late tonight. And he's got the cell phone. So he's the one. But you can call us, so tell us hello, and 856-261-9018. Thank you. I almost forgot about that question. All right. So any other comments on not accepting deliverance? We've said before that you have to make up your mind. If you're asked to renounce your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to make up your mind once and for all. If they say, renounce him or die, what do Muslims do to Muslims who turned to Christian.
They kill him.
They kill him. What choice might they be given?
Renounce Christian.
Renounce Christianity, stay a Muslim, and you live. Many of them are not, and they're dying. Some are put in prison. And even now you read about them, see. Like that Christian pastor, American pastor.
In Iran.
It was in Iraq, I guess, Iraq or Iran. Iran, I guess it is. And he was a Muslim, and they turned Christian. They got him in prison. I don't know how many years they're going to put him there, but all these kinds of things. He didn't accept deliverance either. He's not going to renounce his faith, which is good. And you and I shouldn't renounce our faith either when push comes to shove, as they say. But some will renounce the faith. Because
circumstances in those days when they come may be quite different than they are now.
Yes.
They may tell you to renounce your faith or die right now. And they might have you before somebody with a big axe or something is going to cut your head off.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are going to be scared.
All right, that's true. But what does this mean? Not accepting deliverance. What does that mean? Not accepting deliverance. Friend, cast?
That means don't say it. You're not going to do it.
All right. But
we can always think that at the last minute, that if we trust in Christ, He'll give us
the courage.
We didn't expect that He'll do it for us, but we just trust in Him.
Mm-hmm.
I take it to mean not accepting the deliverance of that trial,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's being set before us to make it easier on oneself.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be to go with the Lord rather than deliverance from the test or trial
mm-hmm.
at all costs.
Now, what do they ask the Lord Jesus Christ at the trial that He might have accepted deliverance from the cross had He said a certain thing? What do you think? What was that situation, remember?
He said, "Are you the Son of God?"
Yes. What if he just caved in to the Pharisees to spare His life? See, he didn't, see, not accepting deliverance. See, this cup that the Father gave me, shall I not drink it? That's what faith says. So, and you and I have got to make a decision. One way or another, it's a hard decision. With the torture, with the fear, as Bill said, they're ready to cut your head off with an axe. This is what happens to Bill.
Yeah, this is something we don't know even before the tribulation. You know, we may face a situation like that. You know, terrorists within the United States here.
Yes.
Sneaking in or anything. And I pray every once in a while that if such a situation comes up, that the Lord would strengthen me so I can
yes.
do the right thing.
Yes, we ought to pray that, all of us. Lord, give us the right decision. Notice in the book of Revelation, what is one of the things the Antichrist does to those that will not receive the mark of the beast?
He heads
them off of the head. And we have beheadings even today. People, Muslims, behead people right and left.
That still goes on over there in the Middle East right now.
That's right. And what do they do with their heads?
I don't know what they do.
Sometimes they hang off, but that's what I think it's. So, not accepting deliverance. Praise the Lord for these in the faith chapter. And then in verse 35, that they might obtain a better resurrection. What does that mean? A better resurrection.
They'll be resurrected. They won't be put to hell, that's for sure.
Yes.
But another question I have was, in the early martyrs I read in the book that Pastor Drexler gave me, that some of the martyrs would, rather than renounce, they would jump right into the fire.
That's interesting.
They were wanted to serve God.
Serve the Lord.
Say that Jesus was their Savior. They actually jumped into the
rather
fire.
Rather than be pushed.
They just went.
That's interesting. Yes.
Mm.
No, that's very interesting. The phrase, better resurrection. Now, remember Paul, the book of Philippians, talks about that I might receive the resurrection. Remember, we preached on that months ago. There's resurrection as anastasis. Ana is up, stasis from history to stand. Anastasis, standing up. But this word, that I might receive an ex anastasis. From those that are resurrected by death. In other words, a special resurrection. It's speaking of the gifts, and the rewards of resurrection. Everyone's going to be resurrected who's born again and saved. But some will have hay, wood, and stubble works. Some will have whole gold, silver, precious stone works. That's what Paul was talking about, a better resurrection. Resurrected those who are out resurrection, those who want resurrected among the dead ones, in order to have a special reward. That's what Paul's group was, in that particular exonesis is with. So this is here, a better resurrection. In other words, all of them will be resurrected who are saved, but they want to have a special reward from the Lord. I think that's the word better resurrection. Mm-hmm. Just like in hell, we've said many times, are there degrees in punishment in hell?
Yes.
Yes, there are. What are some of the illustrations of that? What did the Lord Jesus say about speaking here versus Sodom and Gomorrah? What did he say about that? He used the word more tolerable for whom?
Sodom.
For Sodom and Gomorrah than Tyre and Sidon of the cities. What was it?
It's not more tolerable than Tyre and
Sidon. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for you, the other people that preach that, right? Yeah, more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, why is that?
If they had seen a miracle.
They had more light.
They had more light.
And so the more tolerable Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have half of it. They didn't have any of that light that these other cities had. The Lord Jesus Christ came and preached to them. And they said, no, I don't want any part of it. More tolerable, the day of judgment, for Sodom and Gomorrah. All going to be judged, all going to be in hell, but there's degrees, just like in heaven. Some will be with rewards, some will be without rewards. They'll all be in heaven if they're generally born again, but some are rewarded, some are not rewarded. So, a better resurrection. Yes, Andrew?
Just makes me think when you were saying about the levels even in heaven, because some will be saved as by fire, like the skin of their teeth,
so as by fire.
Yeah. And so, as you say, a better resurrection for those who are willing to die for the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's a tremendous thing, isn't it? Not but saved by dying, but rewarded by being faithful unto death. Remember, it says, they that are faithful unto death will receive what?
The
crown of life. That's right, the crown of life. That's said twice in the New Testament, two different places. Faithful unto death, crown of life. So then in verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings. What is a mocking?
Whipping?
Could be, well, could be whipping.
Be made fun of?
Mocking, be made fun of. What's trial mean? Trial.
What's that? Hard.
Was it?
Experience. Hard testing.
Hard testing. Experience, very tried. Trials. Very difficult testings and trials of
testings.
Yes, testing. Mockings and scourging. Now, mockings is mostly what?
Words.
Usually words. Usually words. Mocking. How can people, are people mocked today? Are Christians mocked today sometimes?
Yes. Yeah.
How do they mock us?
Make jokes about us, trivialize us.
All right.
Make it sound as if anybody who believes in Christ is stupid or foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Superstitious.
Yes. 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Say hello. 856-261-9018. Yeah, Henry?
In our King James Bible, it's in italics, but it says cruel mockings.
Yes. Interesting. Cruel. Italics, but that's probably the Greek word is very heavy, very strong in that thing. Cruel mockings. So just making fun of us. And then scourgings. What is a scourging?
Whipping.
Whipping. That's beatings and whippings. And that's a serious situation. Why did Paul have this 39 time? Number 40 save one. Why was that 40 save one?
Because the law required that they could give no more than 40.
All right.
And they didn't want to miscount, so they gave one less.
That's right. They didn't want to miscount, one less. So scourgings, beatings. Whippings, all kinds of things. These things are very serious indeed. Now, the torture method. Yeah, Mom.
On cruel mockings has come to my mind. When we went to school, there was Johnny Smith had a sister named Margarita. She was a pretty girl, but she had been injured at birth somehow. And so she could talk and everything, but she limped bad.
Mm-hmm.
And different things. And when she was I remember her. She was ahead of us. Because Dottie was in our class. I didn't know Dottie very well. She's one of the popular girls. But her
and
sister.
You?
I was just me.
Oh, brother?
And so I always.
So you met that boy? Go ahead. Just tell me. Just go ahead.
Well, I was maybe not the most popular, but I wasn't bad.
I'm just joking. Go ahead.
But anyhow, I cared about Margarita because she lived and everything. And then all of a sudden she wasn't there, but I didn't think too much about it, I guess. And as I thought back, and after we'd go to reunions, I thought, I wonder what happened to Dottie's sister. So lately I've talked to her on another matter, and I said, what about your sister? Well, she was made fun of. It just, I could cry. She was made fun of by her classmates or by somebody, probably some snotty little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurt her feelings and made her feel so bad that she dropped out of school. She had brain. Her brain wasn't hurting. Mm-hmm. Thinking. It was just, she was real pretty too, but she was different.
Mm-hmm.
She dropped out, and that's like cruel mocking.
Yes.
And people can mock you. When I first went to school, I guess I was mocked. I just would have had to be mocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can mock you, so that wouldn't be, probably that wouldn't be up with cruel mockings. Mm-hmm. But,
what do sometimes people do who have been cruelly mocked today? What do they do?
Sometimes? They fight back sometimes.
Sometimes fight back? What else?
Commit suicide.
Commit suicide. Someone commits suicide, kill themselves. Can't stand it. Yeah, Randy?
There's one kind of mocking that in our day and age is through the media. And some of the cartoons that are not cartoons, they're not children's cartoons, but they're more of... they are subtle and vicious.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cartoons.
Satire.
Yes, they're attacking any kind of values and morals, and some of them they're just anti-Christ mockings.
Mm-hmm.
In the cartoons. They're,
yes.
You know, God forbid a child watch them because they're picking up a bitter spirit.
Right. It's interesting. Cruel mockings. Anyone else have cruel mockings? The Old Testament people had mockings, didn't they?
Yes.
What did they say of Elijah? What did they call him?
Bald-headed somebody.
Go down, the bald-headed. That's right.
It was talking to Elias.
Oh, Elias?
They were talking to Elisha.
Elisha, okay, get the wrong. Elisha, okay.
But they thought, I guess they were thinking of Elijah, because Elijah was supposed to be taken up.
What else? What about, yes, go ahead, Henry.
When you say that about Elisha, and they said the bald head, and it was children that did it, and bears came and ate them.
Bears came and ate
them. They were teenagers.
That's right. Now, what about the one who mocked David? Cruel mocking. What did they say about David? What's his name? Yeah.
Nabal was one of the guys.
Nabal, all right.
What? I don't. Was the one that came along his brother's side.
And what did Nabal do? What did he do to him?
He cursed him for. It was a partisan issue between him and the house of Saul, I suppose. And
mm-hmm.
But David let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, what if the Lord sent him out here to do that?
Yes.
Surprised everyone.
And then when Solomon came along, what did Solomon tell Nabal?
Not sure.
You stay right in your town.
You're getting mixed up.
You're
mixed up because Nabal died.
Who's the one I'm talking about? Who's the one that cursed him?
He was the longest girl.
Sheshai?
Yeah.
Give me the right name, that'll tell my story. What's the name?
There's an S in it.
Shimei?
Shimei.
Shimei, okay,
yeah.
All right. So,
Shimei.
What did Solomon tell the Shimei? Stay right there in your little town.
Yes.
Don't go any whither.
Yes.
So the King James says, don't go any whither. If you go out of there, you're dead.
Yes.
Did he stay in his town or did he go up?
He went out.
Why did he go up?
Ran away. So
what happened then?
Well, something about his servants or animals.
Some servant animals, something straight away. So we have to look for him. So what did Solomon do?
Wasn't David the one that told him to stay in the memory?
No. David spared him, but Solomon's one.
Because when he mocked David, David said that it was of the Lord that he was mocking, so David didn't do anything with him.
Yeah.
At that point, but then said Solomon, deal with him.
Deal with him. And so the son, Solomon, dealt with him, gave him freedom to stay house arrest, right in his own town. But to go out, off with your head. And so he went out and he was slain. Any other cruel mockings and scourgings?
Sometimes.
Yeah, what?
Sometimes, because in our day, people are made fun of, and because they're different. And sometimes they turn out to be very smart people. Like, I had his name a while ago, the guy at the computer. What's his name?
Not Bill Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates. He
did they mock him?
I don't know if they mocked him, but he was a loner. I mean, he's the one that stayed in his garage and worked or whatever it was as a boy. Sometimes those smart kids are not accepted by the popular people, and they turn out to be the ones that actually do something.
Yeah.
But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they...
Some people are taken by the yellow buses to school. Have the yellow buses in our city of Collinsville? Mm-hmm. What does the yellow bus do? What type of children are bused by yellow buses in Collinsville?
Special ed. Mm-hmm.
Special ed.
Yes.
See, now some of those special ed kids grow up, they're smart, they're wise, the Lord blesses them, guides them and uses them. We have a son who was in that one of those yellow buses for a while, I guess, I don't know. But they put him in a special class. When my wife heard they're putting our son Dan in a special class, she went to the school. Tell him, what did you tell us?
I wasn't going to tell this story. It's very personal.
Okay.
Well, Dan had trouble reading.
Yeah.
And so when he was over here, he had reading lessons and all that. And so when he was over at wherever it was, junior high, and I must have signed a paper saying he could have reading, because who doesn't want to know how to read better? Mm-hmm. And then there was something where parents all came one afternoon, and they needed me to sign something, and he was in a special class, and I said, what's he doing in a special class? I thought he just had a class for reading, and I would not sign the paper. Mm-hmm. And they were and that meant they couldn't get a certain amount of money from the government. But I just would not sign it. So he was out of that class. I felt terrible all my life. I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another experience with David. And he was in the hospital. The social worker wanted him to have shock treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And he had told me he did not want shock treatments. He told me that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was after me. I had to do all this by myself. I was like a widow woman.
You too, Kathy.
Okay. This social worker, she was not making headway with me, and I.
It's very difficult to make headway sometimes, I with you. Go ahead.
Well, I was just a little person.
I know.
I was
You're still a little person.
I'm a big fat woman now, and old. But I was a small person.
Go ahead.
And everybody. Anyhow, so I wouldn't sign it. She got up and she went in the other room. She smoked. She came back and looked on me, and I said, no, I'm not going to sign this.
Good.
And she was very, very upset with me. I don't know whether it would have helped him to have a sign, but he said, I don't want to have, because he saw how they did it there. They, you know.
So, mockings. And so
you get mocked when you take a stand.
That's true.
When you have something the matter with you, you get mocked when you take a stand.
But some people who are mocked many times turn out fine.
Yes.
But the world
is really brilliant people. It's just that.
Well, our son Dan is a brilliant fellow. Look at all this prowess and knowledge. He knows about this internet and their videos and the streamings, the whole thing.
I'm not listening to this.
What?
I would never talk about this in public.
Honey, I'm telling the truth about these things. People are mocked sometimes, are very smart and brainy, and people shouldn't mock them. See?
That's right.
The Lord raises them up, gives them strength, and blesses their ministry, as He has our son Dan.
Right.
I'm not ashamed to tell about that.
No, he took Greek and he took Hebrew.
Greek and Hebrew, and graduated to Master of Arts and Master of Theology. You mean amazing. But
they just put you in a certain...
Well, now we're talking about that. Look at that psychiatrist. We talked about that in the car today. Anna told us about that. She remembers her dad. He drew a picture. What was the picture on, eh?
Oh, well, the story goes that there was a picture that he drew of this tree. And this tree had a hole in it, so he drew the hole.
Right in our yard.
And, of course, but then for some strange reason, the psychiatrist says, well, this tree's dead because there's a hole in it, which is completely scientifically incorrect because trees can have holes in them. and they can have large parts of their heartwood removed, and they can still survive for many years. So the psychiatrist was wrong, and my father was right.
Now, what did the psychiatrist think about your father for drawing that hole in the tree?
I guess he thought he was stupid or something.
Well, so maybe a little psycho or something. I don't know.
No, I don't know what it was. Why are we talking about this?
I mean, I'm saying people that are mocked are not always dumb. They're very successful. They do things. And mocking is not the answer. People don't understand about their cast.
Just to go over one of my relatives and my kids, husband's wife, and one of them was told that they were not college material. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be they were so bright and did so much. So you can't go by what some one right. person thinks about you. They just might have a agenda or like filling up a quota. You don't know what their
right.
ideas are.
Exactly. Yeah. Randy?
Well, our position, I mean, as Christians, we take on through faith a place which is looked on as foolish by the world. We believe in Jesus and that he saves us and is taking us to heaven, and that's instant foolishness to the world's sight. But the Lord says that the wisdom of God is foolishness unto men.
Yes.
So, but and then the converse of that would be that the so-called wise or brilliant people could be the true fools.
Yes.
Pastor, the more I think of the evolutionary idea, it is utter folly.
Yes, sir.
And how could a smart man even look into some of these things and claim they're accidental?
Mm-hmm.
Pure folly. It's foolish. But yet they call others foolish.
As we said that verse this morning, let's say it again. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unless they are saved, it's the power of God. That's what it is. No, there's lots of things. My wife didn't want me to get into it, but I'm just simply saying mocking doesn't mean that it's real. You can overcome mockings. And we all have overcome mockings. This fellow that's standing right here before you this morning, guess what he got in effort as a first grader? Effort. You know what effort means? Is he going to do it or not? He got an E. You know what an E is? That's the lowest possible. Not just a simple E, a red E. That means worse and worse and worse. Now, if that little fellow in his first grade was a red E in effort and never said anything, never could conquer that thing, that'd be horrible, see? But mockings, you just have to put up with a lot of things sometimes. People will laugh at you and they think you're crazy and a bed bug, some of them. I don't know what a bed bug is or how crazy. But cruel mockings, and these early Christians, the early men of the Old Testament Bible, were mocked and scourged, and they did not yield to this, and they kept on. And they better resurrection. Yeah, Anne Marie?
Well, even in that with the Apostle Paul, how they talked about his appearance.
Oh, yes.
And his speech was contemptible.
Yes. They mocked him, didn't they? They mocked Paul. They sure did. The Lord used him. The Lord used him. And that's another... Yes, Emery?
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Right.
Sorry. With the scourgings,
mm-hmm.
It was five times...
Oh, five times. That's
that,
okay.
That.
Three times he was beaten, but five times scourged.
Right. Thrice I was beaten with rods.
Yeah.
Once I was stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep.
Mm-hmm.
And then all that he went through. Okay.
You know, there's a phrase in verse 34 that I don't know whether we touched on last week. In that section that says, out of weakness were made strong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word were made. Who made them strong?
God
himself. The Lord himself made them strong. See, that's important. So with these mockings and scourgings, the Lord can make us strong. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Yvonne?
Sometimes a person's mocked for their stand. There's nothing physically wrong or mentally wrong, but they take a stand and people mock them.
Yes.
You know,
we know all that, haven't we?
Right. I was not really very well doing it, but proofreading Dr. Bennett's work, and it was real interesting. He's writing on the King James Bible, and he quotes a lot of modern people.
Mm-hmm. Writers.
That are on the subject, like Daniel Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Princeton, Metzger.
Metzger. Mm-hmm.
Other people. And some might, what was that man's name that we looked up? Staub or Steb or something?
Fred Straub. Straub. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't, I didn't
know. He's from Central Seminary.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know who he was.
No, we had to look him up.
He was writing real nice things. He evidently wrote a paper for the King James Bible 400th anniversary in mm-hmm. the Baptist Bulletin, which we didn't know anything about.
No.
And he was saying real nice things about you. Just in.
Even though he's a critical text man, I don't know why he would even compliment me.
I can't talk very well because the mucus just falls down like water on my throat.
We won't mock you.
He said he was writing a critique of different people, their different views. And for a long time, he said that those that took the Bergon side, well, first of all, it sort of died. This is the way I remember it, and then it was revived. And the people that seemed to take the Bergon side, they had no scholastic standing. Like, there was people like me if I suddenly talked about it.
Moody Bible Institute writers.
No, I know, but...
Oh, that's something. That's good. Go ahead.
That's not... I'm not...
Oh, go ahead.
And then it said in the later years, I forget it was, suddenly someone who had very good credentials, it was G.A. Wade, that couldn't be... His credentials couldn't be argued with, and he stood up for the Bergon point. It was very, very interesting.
Unusual.
Yeah, very interesting to see something positive said about my husband, where most people... Even some people, friends or former friends, say bad things. And here was a person saying something positive about your work. It was very nice to see it.
Very interesting.
I forget exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Randy, then I'm ready.
Well, it can happen, in, as you say, in the church, just by
claiming. We have a soul that's spoken of. Go ahead, Randy.
That's you?
Just,
yes, look at that.
Just go.
Good
just by
Brandon Henry.
Well, you stand on certain scriptures, Pastor Wade, and I've had otherwise very smart and kind friends that they kind of call me a redneck, and they don't like you claiming that they're one is right and another is wrong.
Right.
They resent that, and it's a type of mocking. You're on the outskirts.
You're
now.
An oddball.
You're not. You're odd now.
Yeah.
You're a legalist and a redneck or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. They called me something.
I need you both.
Yes, I'm reading. And then Cass. I'm reading Cass.
Do you want to take Cass?
Good, Emery.
Okay.
No, sir. No.
Okay. A fundamental fanatic.
That's another name.
Yeah,
do they use that in Canada?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, they like to use that.
Oh, oh. Okay.
Okay. When you were saying, and weakness makes strong,
yes.
It made me think when Paul was buffeted by Satan with that thorn in the flesh, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Interesting, I was just thinking, how thrice he was beaten with rods and then shipwreck and that, but he never asked the Lord to deliver him from that. But this thorn in the flesh, thrice he asked the Lord. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Very good. My strength made perfect in weakness. Cass.
Just to go along with what you were saying, I was at McDonald's on Saturday, I think it was, or one day, and I had a friend with me, and I saw this other lady come in that I had witnessed 2 years ago when I was just saved. And so before I left, I went over and said hello to her, and she leaned over and said, are you still in that weird religion?
That weird religion.
And of course, I gave me such love, but the perfect words to her. I said to her, It was the Lord, it wasn't me. Yeah, it was the Holy Spirit. I said, I am a Christian, and I have received the blood of Jesus. I trust the blood of Jesus Christ to save me from my sins, and I believe. It just came out, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I believe it, but I don't always get everything together, because you know, I talk. And I just said that we believe in faith. I believe in faith.
Yes.
And faith alone to save me. And Jesus Christ shed blood.
Yes.
And I came out really joyful that I got this opportunity to say hello to this woman and talk to her. I don't know what she thought when
I left. Did she still think you're in a weird religion?
Well, I don't even know what church she was talking about, because then I was, I don't know what I was in then. But I just praise God that I had that opportunity to say that to her.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Anything else on that? Mockings and scourgings.
But I knew she was mocking me. That's why I put that out.
Oh, yes.
Yes, she was mocking me.
Yeah, ma?
That's okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think my sister Beverly, she didn't know if people were mocking her or looking at her or anything. She minded it. But
injured at birth.
Yeah, and when she'd go places with us and everything, and people would stand and stare at her and everything, and my dad, he was near there, he'd say, aren't you glad you're not like this or something?
No.
And as I got older, you know, when I was married and everything, if people stared, I'd just stare at them.
Stare at a house and home.
I mean,
stare back at
it.
Yeah.
You know, she was different when she got older and everything. But aren't we all?
Yeah. Any other comments? We're about ready.
Dan's another one.
Yeah, our son, Dave. Yeah.
You know what people are like. You can't really blame the people sometimes.
We're going to stop there, I think, at verse number 36. Cruel mockings and scourgings, the mockings of believers today. It's an easy thing to do, isn't it? People that criticize this and charge. You've got to stand firm for the Lord, no matter what. Yeah, what?
These people were mocked because they were standing for the Lord.
Yes.
Some of them are mocked just because we can't walk straight or we don't look right.
Well, that's true.
Other people.
But any other comments or questions before we close this afternoon? All right, good to see you. Let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you. We can discuss these matters in Scripture, this chapter 11, the chapter of faith. All these men and women that stood for thee are talked about and mentioned by the Holy Spirit through Paul here in Hebrews 11. We thank thee, Lord, that their lives were not in vain, that we can profit from them. We can take examples from them. We can stand true to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, mocked though we may be. Help us, Lord, to be strong in the faith, that thou mayest strengthen us in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.